Well, then we send a very warm welcome to you. Thank you very much for coming. And again, trust that we'll hear the voice of God through His Word. Turn again to the Gospel record by Luke, chapter 18. That is the third book in the New Testament, following Matthew and Mark, Luke chapter 18. Take our reading from verse number 9. Luke 18, verse 9. And he, that's the Lord Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank thee, God, that I am not as other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. We have been looking through these chapters in Luke 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and last night we were in 18 and we find ourselves back here again. We've been looking at some of the parables in the latter part of Luke, as you know, as you've been here. And some of the parables that we've been looking at, when we read them together, we may think to ourselves, I wonder what that means. Sometimes when the Lord Jesus spoke in parables, he spoke and it wasn't really very clear. And sometimes there was an explanation. And we saw that we needed to find the spiritual lesson in the earthly illustration that he would draw. We saw together the parable of the fig tree, which had no fruit. What good is a fig tree with no fruit? We looked at together at the rich man who, in chapter 12, lived without God. And there have been various parables that we've looked at. But what I notice when we come to this one is this. It's very plain. It's very clear. It hardly needs any explanation. The people that stood by the Lord Jesus this day, they wouldn't have gone home confused. I'm very glad that Len has said what he has said in the preaching of the gospel this evening. Again, it's not something that, as he has said on past nights and we say again, it's not something that is just easy or cold or that just rolls off the tongue. To tell a soul that if you reject Christ, you will go down to hell. But Len has been faithful. And he has told you this evening that if you die without Christ, there's only one alternative. You will go down to hell. Ultimately to the lake of fire, where in your body resurrected, you will spend forever and ever. In your body, absolutely conscious in the place of torment. What a terrible, terrible outcome for a soul who's lived on earth. For a soul who's lived on earth with the opportunity to be saved and rescued from that terrible predicament, which we so rightly deserve, because we're sinners, we're guilty in the sight of God. As that has been clear in the preaching of the gospel, the Lord Jesus was absolutely clear in the speaking of this parable. There was no beating around the bush. I read it today and I just felt to myself, it's almost as though it's got to the point, well, I can't be any clearer to you. How clearer can it be made? Here was a group of religious people who were so concerned and taken up with outward appearance and outward doings. People that kept the physical parts of the law, but their hearts were black and stained by sin, and they were just so occupied with doing and looking good and outward appearance. And as long as men see me doing these things, then I'm okay. And the Lord Jesus couldn't be clearer in addressing this situation, in addressing these people. Maybe if we have been hazy in the preaching over past nights, I don't know. Maybe you haven't really understood what we've been trying to tell you in the preaching of the gospel. Maybe tonight we've just got to be plain and clear that if you reject Christ, if you don't take this offer of salvation, you will perish and perish for eternity. And that is just absolutely unspeakable this evening. What it is to perish without God, without Christ, without hope, in the burnings of the eternal lake of fire. What a terrible, terrible, terrible place. What a terrible, terrible experience, but not just for time, for eternity. The Lord Jesus, in addressing these people, as I have been telling you, it has been absolutely clear what he's saying. He's addressing a people who trusted in themselves. Listen to what he said. He spoke a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Well, let's just consider that for a moment. These people, they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they looked down on and despised others. And he's going to illustrate this for us with these two men that went up to the temple to pray. But just consider this for a moment. People that trust in themselves. This word, trusted in themselves, literally means persuaded themselves. They convinced themselves. They persuaded themselves that they were righteous. And therefore, by persuading themselves that they were righteous, or innocent, or holy, or just, or fit for the presence of God, they despised others. It's the same word used, excuse me, when it says that the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude. They convinced the multitude to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. They got them whipped up into that frenzy, and they persuaded them, they convinced them to trust them on this point. Ask for Barabbas. Get rid of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus here is saying these people, they persuaded themselves, they convinced themselves that they were righteous, and therefore they despise others. I wonder if there's anyone in the meeting tonight and you've convinced yourself that you're okay. I wonder if there's anyone in the meeting tonight and you've persuaded yourself that everything's going to be okay in the end. You know, this is a message for the people of this world. For the world has persuaded themselves that everything's going to be okay in the end. We're all going to go to heaven. Don't worry about it. You've got your religion, I've got mine. You've got your God, I've got mine. And a lady said to me on one occasion, it's like this, Clive. She said, we're all going up one mountain. You're going up that side with your God. Another person is going up this side with his God. Another person is going up that side. And we're all going to reach the same point at the top. We'll all meet at the top. We'll all be in heaven. Well, it sounds good, doesn't it? You know what she had done? She had persuaded herself. She had convinced herself that that was the truth. Well, I just stopped and spoke. And said, well, you observe that. I'm going up this side with my God, somebody's going up that side with their God, and somebody else is going up this side with their God. We're all going to meet at the top, and it's going to be heaven. Well, tell me, please. The murderers are going up this side, then, here. And those that are wicked sinners, rapists, they're going up this side here. And the liars are going up here, and the adulterers are going up that side there with their gods. And you see, these people that are going up this side of the mountain with their God, they think it's okay to blow people up and to kill people. And these people that are going up this side have got their God, and actually they believe in no, no, no. But people have convinced themselves and persuaded themselves that stories like this are true. Where do you stand this evening? What have you convinced yourself of? Have you convinced yourself, like the Lord Jesus would speak here, that you're righteous enough, that you're holy enough, that you're fit for the presence of God, that you don't need to do anything, you don't need salvation? These people, the Lord Jesus said, they convinced themselves that they were fit for the presence of God. We've got nothing to repent of. And then he goes on to illustrate a person like that. He illustrates a person like that, that they tell people what they have done, and then they tell people what they haven't done. How many people do we find like that? I have to look at my own heart tonight and confess to you that before I got saved, this was exactly where I stood. And people in the meeting would tell you the same thing tonight. Christians in the meeting would tell you that before they got saved, that's exactly where they stood too. We're so quick to tell each other what we have done in life and what we haven't done in life. And we all convince ourselves that we're good enough and we're going to heaven. I can soon tell you a few things that I've done. And I can soon tell you a few things that I haven't done. I will miss a few things out, I can tell you. I'll miss a few things out on what I have done in life. I'll only tell you the best parts. I won't tell you what I have done concerning my sin. I'll only tell you what I have done that I consider to be an achievement in this world, or I consider to be an achievement in the face of God. And I'll tell you what I haven't done. And I always tell you when I haven't done things, that I haven't done those sinful things. I won't tell you about the good things that I haven't done. And you see, we go about comparing ourselves with ourselves. And ultimately we work ourselves into this position where we've convinced ourselves that we're okay, that we're righteous, that we're fit for God's presence, that we're all going to heaven. It will all be okay in the end. No, dear friend, it will not be. That is a lie from the devil. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You will not be okay in the end. It will not pan out okay. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And so many, the Proverbs tells us, each man will proclaim, every man, or most men it says, will proclaim each his own goodness And that's exactly the world in which we live, where we're so willing to proclaim our own goodness, and we try to hide the fact we're sinners. Wouldn't you just come out with it tonight? Just acknowledge that you're not fit for the presence of God. You're on your way to eternal destruction, to eternal torment, to eternal banishment of God, to eternal punishment, to eternal destruction. But God has made a way whereby you can be saved. Len has been telling us about the lovely Lord Jesus who was speaking to these people here. How grieved in his heart he must have been that he had to tell these people point blank where they stood. And tell these people point blank what they were doing. You know, well, I was going to say the funny thing about this. It's not funny at all. The thing about this that's such a contradiction, such an oxymoron, is this. That these people who considered themselves to be righteous and religious, who would have known the law of God, as I was thinking about it this afternoon, they could have quoted to you these verses, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Oh yes, we're the religious ones. We're the ones that go to church, so to speak. We're the ones that know the Bible. We're the ones that live upright moral lives. We're the ones that are fit for the presence of God. You'd hardly think people like that would then despise others, would you? But these people, such is the contradiction, that they presume themselves fit for God, and then they would just look down and belittle and think nothing of and despise and tread over the top of people who they thought they were sinners. What a contradiction. It doesn't sound like a righteous person to do that, does it? It doesn't sound like that's something that God would do. You see, God sent his Son in love to this world. God didn't just come down and, right, you've sinned, that's it, no chance, gone. He made provision in salvation. He made provision whereby we could be saved. Did we deserve it? No. When he sent his Son, we took him and nailed him to a cross. With the intention to destroy him, crucify him, to eradicate him, to get rid of him. That was the purpose of those people that nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross, that they may try and eradicate the Son of God. I'm so thankful, as Len has been saying this evening already, he laid down his life. What a wonder that the Lord Jesus would lay down his life. What a wonder that God would love a world of people like you and me, such guilty sinners in his sight. I often wonder at the verse that's behind my head. For God so loved the world, and God had by his Spirit that very verse penned through that man John when the Garden of Eden took place, when God looked down and said, "It is very good, now I'm going to tell them I love the world." No. When Noah came out of the ark and God had got rid of the wickedness that was on the face of the earth, and now starting with Noah, he looked down and just saw those 8 saved people on the face of the earth. Oh, now I can write, "I love the world." No. But when we had taken his lovely Son and nailed him hand and feet to a cross, and spat in his face, and buffeted him, and put stripes across his back, and pulled the beard from his cheeks, and mocked him, and crucified him, God said, "Tell them that I love them." What a wonder. What a love. And God tells you this evening that he loves you. And he's made provision whereby you can be saved. whereby you can be rescued from the predicament that you're in of eternal torment, of eternal perishing, of eternal punishment. Here, these people were righteous, or they thought they were righteous. They persuaded themselves that they were righteous, but they trampled over the top of other people who they thought were just those guilty, rotten little sinners. Those are the ones that deserve to go to hell. But I'm thankful God is not like that. And so the Lord Jesus, he brings an illustration. He brings a picture of these people. That two men go up to pray. The one a Pharisee. The one, the very people he was speaking to. The very people that he had this message in mind for. He now is not going to beat around the bush. Again, this is just seems to be coming out and coming out. We can't beat around the bush. We've got to be straight and plain. And he's going to be straight and plain. And he says, look, in this illustration, one of them is a Pharisee. And they go up, and they both go up to the temple to pray. These two men, we see the contrast in these two men. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican, the other a tax collector, the other one a sinner. Someone who of that day would have been despised and cast out, and one who would have been looked down on, one who would have just been considered to be the scum of society, the one who would have been an extortioner, the one who would have taken money because he was covetous and greedy, the one who would have robbed the people unjustly. Those were the type of people that deserved to go to hell, isn't it? Those are the type of people that deserve God's judgment. Not religious people. Not people that give to God. Not people that pray and fast and tithe. Not people that do their very best in life. Not people that have kept themselves from committing grievous sins. People like that, they deserve to go to heaven. They don't deserve God's judgment, do they? Or do they? Well, the Lord Jesus thought they did. Here, they both went up to pray, and the Lord Jesus said that this Pharisee, he prayed within himself. It just can mean two things. He spoke to himself, and his prayers didn't get further than himself. It was as though he was looking in the mirror and admiring himself. And as he stood before this mirror, just admiring himself, I can just almost see it. It's just like he had this great big mirror before him. And he straightened out his cloak and thought, oh, don't I look good? I've got everything right. I thank thee, God, that I thank thee, God, that I'm not like these others. I thank thee that I do this, and I do that, and I do the other. And I thank thee that I've never done this, and I've never done that, and I've never done the other. Is there someone like that in the meeting this evening? And that you look down on others, and, oh, I'm thankful I'm not like those people down the end of the street. I'm thankful that I'm not like those people around the corner, just the low-life people. You see, they disappear out in the darkness of night, probably going out to rob people. You know, that's just the kind of characters that live in that house around the corner. I'm glad I'm nothing to do with them. I'm glad I go to church. I'm glad I say my prayers. I'm glad I live a good, decent, upright life. I'm glad I've never done those things. Oh, dear friend, be warned by the Lord Jesus this evening. Your heart is deceiving you. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And this Pharisee here, who the Lord Jesus is drawing a picture of, he didn't understand this. He thought it was all outward. And it was just to impress men. And surely if I can impress men, I've got myself convinced of this. I've persuaded myself that God will be happy too. He didn't remember the very book of the law which he read, where it says that God looks upon the heart. God does not look upon the outward appearance. Would he have known the lovely accounts of David and his brothers, of Samuel, and God speaking through the prophet? God speaking to these people that God is a God who looks upon the heart, not just upon the outward appearance. He was a man, a Pharisee, a religious man, who would have known these things. He would have known the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Just thinking about this recently, he would have known these things. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Wouldn't he have read the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Wouldn't he have memorized the Old Testament, the law? And here he is, just occupied and convinced himself that his outward appearance and his outward show in life would be enough to get into heaven, would be enough for him to receive salvation. He failed. To understand that his heart was wicked and stained with sin. And he's fit for eternal judgment, for that's all we're fit for. Born into this world and putting this nature into practice every day, we are fit for the judgment of God. I can tell you, I was absolutely fit for the judgment of God. I had no excuse before God. You've got no excuse before God. You stand before Him. You sit before Him in this meeting. What can you lift your voice to? Look at this other man. He couldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast an act of understanding his anguish that he is a sinner in the sight of God. What hope do I have but to cast myself on the mercy of God? How is the mercy of God displayed, friend? It's displayed in the giving of his Son. He didn't give us what we deserve. He gave us the gift, the unspeakable gift above all gifts, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary and took on death, faced death head on, and the judgment for sin, eternal death. He swallowed it up in his very body on the tree. He bore the judgment. He drank the cup of wrath, of judgment, of a holy God. He drained it to the very bottom. He exhausted the wrath of God against sin. He cried, "It is finished." And on the third day, he rose triumphant from the dead. And God displayed that he was absolutely satisfied with what his Son had accomplished and completed. And in that resurrection from the dead, he became the one who Len has been speaking of, with the ability, with the power, with the willingness to give life to all that would come to him. For he's the very possessor of life. Would you walk past someone like that this evening? Would you walk past an offer of mercy? Or would you be like this man, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? Cast yourself on the mercy of God. The Lord Jesus has, God has provided salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to trust the Savior this evening? Or would you go out? Go down to a lost eternity. Again, as we close the meeting, there is no alternative. There is no other way. There is no other Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Father, we give thanks again for the lovely Lord Jesus. O God, save us all tonight, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to hymn number 486. 486. depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his love forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare? I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his calls, grieve him by a thousand falls. Whence to me this waste of love? Ask my advocate above. See the cause in Jesus' face, now before the throne of grace. We'll just sing verses 1 and 5. 1 and 5, standing. Thank you again.
Depth of mercy can there be? Mercy still reserved.